Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Who's hungover?
Not hungover, just fucking lack of sleep. Last few days.
No. I woke up pretty hungover, but I'm doing better now.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my fault. I saw the schedule. I'm like, oh, wait, like they released a record on literally yesterday in a hometown show. And it was a big ask for me to expect you to be here in the morning. And so I apologize. I didn't put two together. I was like, oh shit, they're gonna be hungover.
Oh, that's all right.
And then I did generalize your band and like, okay, they'll definitely be late. You know, death metal band, local, they'll probably be late and you're 20 minutes early. I was wrong.
Yeah. So
how was the show?
It was good.
Yeah.
Good turnout.
Very good turnout.
Yeah, it was fun, man.
Probably one of my favorite shows.
Really? We had a really good bill, a lot of good bands on it, so I think that helped a lot. But yeah, it was sick. Yeah. We're stoked that everybody's enjoying the new record and stuff. We've been getting a lot of positive feedback, so.
It just came out yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
How you guys feeling about it?
Good. We're tired of waiting 6 months for it to come out, so we're stoked that it's finally out. And yeah, so far everybody seems to be stoked on it. So
I wonder if there's a way to make a record come out sooner, like six months. Right? So why? Like, so why is it 6 months?
Yeah,
right.
By the time it comes out, I'm tired of listening.
Yeah. We're tired of it ourselves.
Yeah.
We got to ask Mike Gitter. Why 6 months? Why not like 3 months? Is that possible? Well, first of all, the vinyl issue was a thing.
Yeah.
So you had to wait for a vinyl. Wait, how long? I don't even know.
Years.
This. After so many years, but we have 8 records. I don't know how long it takes to press a record like a CD.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
I can imagine CDs are quite quick, but I think it's the vinyls they take a while.
And what's happening is the big companies are repressing their like greatest hits albums, and so the smaller labels are like, you know, underground metal labels, they usually get pushed to the back because there's only a few plants in the whole world that do the vinyl manufacturing.
Yeah.
And so if some huge, like, you know, Taylor Swift made that vinyl, and I think that was like when we could see a lot of things being pushed back for underground metal bands, I think.
What exactly happened?
Well, that was just a symptom of like the industry. I think at the time post COVID, there was a lot of things going on. And then there was that, like the plant that made the wax in Japan burnt down or something like that. And, so it was just like resource strain. And then also, you know, that whatever label these huge stars are a part of are able to, you know, they're the ones putting in the massive orders for small plants that can only do so much. And, you know, they kind of, I think they kind of give priority to those. Mm-hmm. And so then for, you know, metal bands, underground metal bands in general, punk, whatever, they just get pushed to the back and so it just takes a lot longer.
I wonder if they paid them more. I wonder.
If you're such a massive
artist, hey, we'll fucking print, you know, print like a, like thousands.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
And we'll fucking pay you on top.
Maybe.
Fuck. Yeah. I wonder. That dude, that would be fucked up if like Taylor Swift just fucking pay like over a cost. You know, because then you know what I mean. What
it's possible.
You know.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. It's, you know, fucking money talks.
Yeah. Money does talk. I mean, you're talking like a major label, one of the biggest fucking artists on the planet. You know.
Yep.
But you know, yeah, we all got hit. You know, I mean, the backup was, it went over a year at some point.
Yeah,
you know, it just changed. I found out from actually shout out to Mike Gator. I know for sure he's listening or watching this. it just now the wait time is 4 months. So now like that huge backup is now over.
Yeah, that's pretty decent. That's the way it was before COVID, I think.
Yeah, I think COVID was when it got really, like, really bad, right?
Yeah, it was bad. It
slowed down, yeah. So I think around when we released Entombment, they were saying something about, oh, there might be an issue with pressing the record or something. Like, it might be delayed, but it worked out. So I think we got in right before all that started to happen. Mm-hmm. I want to say. I'm not 100% sure, but I think so. I remember something like that being mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But seems like everything's good back to normal, so.
That's great.
Yeah.
Straight up, Skeletal Remains is straight up death metal. That's if you want to like hear it, like that's exactly how you want to hear it.
Yeah.
It's fucking dope. That riff on the new record on Conquering, that might be one of my favorite death metal riffs I heard in a long time.
Thanks,
like,
man.
It was like a ton, like dun dun.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
I was like, thanks, damn, that was like, oh, hey. I was like, damn, sick.
Yeah, that comes from
just Morbid
Angel worship, a lot of Domination era, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, man. I'm glad you liked it. Yeah. Yeah, we're trying to do it. I mean, obviously, there's like a big death metal scene right now at the moment, and I feel like there's a lot of bands that are doing a lot of more, like they come from a different background, I guess, like more hardcore side, so. We're trying to do a little bit something a little bit more different and just try to like stick to just the straightforwardness of, you know,
interesting
what we grew up listening to, because that's kind of our roots, you know, where we came from. So we just try to just kind of keep it straightforward, you know, as brutal as possible, just like all the shit that, you know, we like.
Yeah,
basically just continue on where many of the greats left off. You know,
yeah,
just keep that flame going.
And keep it fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
try to at least.
Yeah. You're always trying. We're always trying. I'm still trying.
Yeah.
Trying and failing.
Yeah.
And then people will poke at your, oh, but you're like this one, like success. But all of a sudden you fucked up. Yeah. to finally get there. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. We get a lot of, every now and then we'll get like these comments like, oh, you know, not, these guys aren't bringing anything new or reinventing the wheel. And it's like, yeah, you know, of course, like we've never claimed that we're, you know, groundbreaking or fucking doing anything new. It's like, you know, we're just continuing on. And people who get it, you know, people totally. don't.
but what people don't really understand, which is what your band is doing, is that it is, you have I was talking about this, about like metalcore.
Mm-hmm.
But it is it's a very generic genre of music. But when a band just fucking executes that sound, you're talking only like a handful of bands, like As They Dying, Killswitch, Parkway Drive. Come to my brain, I was like, when it's executed though, when it's just like that, it's executing a sound, a simple sound, is extremely difficult, damn near impossible. So when you do like that, like fucking that straight up death metal sound, it sounds easy to say, but to actually accomplish that sound is.
Yeah,
you guys did it. It sounds cool.
Thanks, man. Thank you, man.
That's cool.
Yeah, this one was definitely a bitch to fucking write. The last record we wrote it in what, fucking like about 6 weeks.
Yeah,
and this one literally took like fucking 3.5 years. It was just getting back to it was just trying to get to that point where we're trying to push ourselves. You know, we're trying to, you know, just get better as musicians. And
Because this was the first record since the second one that you actually all got in like a room, correct?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, since Condemned,
How did that feel?
It was great. I mean, it was definitely like, I felt like it definitely helped with having, you know, all of them around to like get feedback. Because a lot of the third and the fourth record, half of the fourth record, Entombment, was mostly just me in my room writing shit to with a drum machine on my computer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just like when I'm writing shit by myself, I tend to like overthink things. And now I'm just like, I don't know if I like this, or I'll just keep coming back to it. Like So having their feedback on stuff, like I'll send them stuff and they're like, no, that sounds good. Or like, try something like this. Like, it definitely helped a lot. And then, just like, having their input was definitely like, I just felt like I felt more comfortable writing this record. You know, it's not as stressful, I guess, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. You didn't want to blow your head off.
Yeah. That's good. Exactly.
It's a good sign.
But yeah, I'm stoked on how it came out. And yeah, I think definitely it gave it a different vibe with all of us being in a room together and, you know, writing shit together and amongst each other and like kind of just bouncing ideas off each other instead of just me doing it by myself in a room to a fucking computer, you know, which worked out great. But I think it just gives it a different vibe overall.
Like, yeah.
Like you can hear it in the this record and the last two. It's just, I guess a different vibe is the best way to put it.
Do you think that made the record and music better?
I think so, yeah.
Having like overthinking a riff, you have like, I assume that you have like your riff that you like, but then you kind of bring it to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Did that, you think that overall, once you now fast forward to yesterday, fast forward, but also back in time and day, like the record's out. I mean, do you feel like, okay, wait, this made the music
better? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel really good about how everything came out.
All the songs on this one are really like distinct from each other. And I think that had to do with like just sort of different, combinations of people writing things like, you know, there was a lot of heavy touring we did this past few years, and that's what made it so difficult to actually find the time to like sit back and start writing again. And even before I joined, these guys had already written a couple songs, and then you know, there were some days like it was just maybe me and Mike at the studio, and then we came up with something, you know, sort of totally different. And then, you know, Pierce had written a song, and then we all sat down with it. And by the end of it, it became totally different. Yeah, it was a totally different beast by the end of it. But it's just having those just sort of different situations to write in or different situations that you're, just coming from for each song, really, I think makes each song on this record in particular stand out from one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just having everybody's input as well, like, kind of helps with the self-doubt, you know, because sometimes, like, I'll...
Plagued by it, dude.
You know, like, I'll have a fucking riff, and it's like, this is cool, but I'm like, I don't know if I'm really digging it yet, and, you know, I'm kind of like, just like, I don't know if this is going to fit the record. And like, you know, once I show these guys, like, they kind of like, no, give it a shot. Like, we'll see where we can go with it. And, you know, there's quite a few riffs on this record that actually kind of turned out that way and thankfully worked out for the better, you know, came out pretty sick, I would say.
Or sometimes like a shitty riff will lead you to a
yeah.
Better.
Oh yeah.
You never know. You got to hash it out. Dude.
Yeah.
And with death metal, you're talking a lot of riffs.
Yeah.
Those are a lot of riffs.
Riff is key, man.
Yep.
That's the main thing when we're writing music. We try to make a really good fucking riff and a catchy riff. And I think that's definitely something that's missing right now in death metal. Like, there's a lot of bands that are great, but I just feel like, I don't know, the whole aspect of a good riff is kind of not really there.
Yeah.
At least not for me when I've listened to a lot of like, the new stuff going, like, happening right now. So we try, that's something that we always try to do, like, try to write something very memorable and catchy and something that's going to stick with you, you know? Like, just like the shit that we grew up listening to, like, you know, Altars of Madness or any, like, you know, Morbid Angel record, like, those fucking riffs are just fucking sick. And that's, we just try to write shit that's kind of on par with that, you know?
Yeah. It's hard to write a catchy riff. It's funny, like, you brought up two things that I didn't really, like, realize until you actually said the words, where people take, like, death metal and then they, like they're adding other elements, like, you know, like, hardcore is we're kind of in a category, but no one's really honing in on the sound.
Mm-hmm.
That combined with people are making things way too fucking complicated. You know, it's like how many fucking notes can you put into like 120 seconds, dude? You know, just that this you just need that fucking, you know, because I come from like the skinless territory, eternal suffering, this little simple simple fucking riff. Mm-hmm. And still, like, I'm 38 now, so I get older. I just look back to those bands.
Yeah.
You always go back to, like, you know, at the end, I think, like, what brought you back? Like, what? I mean, that simple riff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Who came up with the riff for Conquering?
The opening riff?
Yeah.
That was me and Mike.
Yeah, both of us together. Just kind of like... Yeah.
Bouncing ideas off each other, and then I think we came up with a new garage.
Yeah, there was like at least 5-6 different versions that we were kind of fucking around with, and then we finally landed on that one, and it was like, oh.
Yeah, it worked out.
It's pretty
so
cool.
Fucking
like,
sick, dude.
Thank you.
It's fucking sick. And then like Pierce comes when you hit the toms, it's like, oh, that's exactly what I want.
Yeah.
God, cool, fucking
yeah, I think you guys were like stuck on that riff when you first wrote it, right? You guys like couldn't come up with a drum beat for it, and then you said,
"Oh yeah, yeah, I think so." I think we had like a because that was a tricky riff to write a drum beat.
Yeah, I don't think you guys had anything.
Yeah, we had something like sent me the idea. Yeah, we had some ideas, and we just sent it to him, and I think he just kind of sent back what he had. I was like, "Oh yeah, that works."
Yeah,
that's probably my favorite song to play.
Yeah, it's a cool.
Yeah, shit's fun.
Cool one. Why? Catchy as fuck. I don't know, man. Something about that second half of the song is just like. I get a fucking drummer's high from it.
Really?
Yeah, just the melodies like gets me in this zone that like I don't know, I just kind of drift off and I just go in my own world. I fucking love playing that song live.
Well, a drummer's high, I never heard about that.
It's kind of like a runner's high.
Yeah,
you know,
I think like that same thing. Yeah, I'm like, oh wow, just, a drummer's high, huh?
Yeah, it's just like I get in this very good zone that I feel like super confident and like whatever comes out just comes out,
huh?
Without any thinking.
Best.
Yeah. I fucking love playing that song.
What's fucking cool about you, Pierce, is that just watching you play drums to classical music.
Oh,
what the fuck? What are you doing? It's sick.
Oh
though.
Man,
it's sick.
Thanks, man. I don't know. I'm influenced by a bunch of different shit and classical, jazz, you know, funk, all that shit. I don't know. I've always been curious, like, what would it sound like with percussion behind it, you know, like actual drums. And I don't know. I just go to the studio, get baked, and then just fuck around like that, and that's it.
Okay. Sick, dude. Speaking of getting baked, you guys get more baked if you want.
Nah, I'm good. I'm pretty stoned right now.
Okay. Fuck yeah, dude. That's cool. So that's the thought process, huh? Just go in your room.
Yeah, man, I just try to have fun. Like, yeah, playing that classical shit. And also, like, I was always, like, a big hip-hop fan. And, like, I don't know, some of the hip-hop songs from, like, the early 90s and early 2000s, like, kind of just go fucking hard.
Yeah.
And, like, I was a big fan of Jedi Mind Tricks growing up, and they had a lot of classical samples. So, like, I always...
That was what... Because I found two songs, mm-hmm. and one... I want to say you typed that, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, Jedi Mind Trick.
Yeah. It was... I don't know. I was just always... I always loved classical music and the idea of putting a solid groove behind it, you know? Because it's challenging music, but it also... allows me as an artist and creator to like just create something different, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't specifically want to do death metal only. I want to do as much as I can, you know?
Yeah. What gave you that idea?
Just my own thoughts. Just really? Like, what would it sound like, you know?
Shit. I wish we could pull it up, but to be honest, I had to stalk you guys. Because it was very finding you, which maybe this is what you're going for, but finding you personally, this is the first time where I failed at it. I couldn't find you guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like because you. Cause
that's
you,
a good thing.
Because I don't want to tell my. I want to put my process out like so far there, but I mean, this is the first time I think I really couldn't find, but I found you though.
Oh,
shit. And so if you might want to fix that, or I don't know. Like. I was like, damn, he's fucking, dude, jamming. It was like a beautiful orchestra. It was two of them.
Uh-huh.
It was like one, you're talking about drum samples, and then the other one was like an orchestra.
Uh-huh.
God, it was so fucking cool, man.
Thanks, dude. Thank you, man.
Well, now it makes it even cooler now to know that you're high. So
Oh, yeah.
Crazy, man.
Thank you, man. No, I just go in and try to have fun, you know, like.
It looks fun.
Yeah, it is, man. I generally do that if I'm not, like, really working on anything. I get hit up a lot for session work. So, I mean, I got to play almost daily to keep chops up, you know.
Yeah.
So that all just comes when I have the time to do it, you know.
Totally.
And right now I don't have the time, so that's why I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Whenever I need music gear, I always go to Sweetwater.com. If it's mics, headphones, or studio and recording gear, Sweetwater has you covered. Next time you need any music gear, support the podcast by using the link in the description and comment section below. Okay, so you guys are based out of Whittier?
Whittier.
The band originally started in Whittier. Me and Mike are from Whittier.
Yeah.
And some of the old members were also based out of Whittier. I mean, we all went to high school together.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's where the band originated, but now it's kind of all over the place. I'm the only one that's local now here in LA. Mm-hmm. Everybody else kind of all over, like Pierce and Brian are Portland, Washington area.
Yeah. Mm. I grew up in Portland. I live there now.
Yeah.
Okay. Going to Hawthorne is fucking scene.
Yeah. All the time, dude.
Sick ass drummers.
Yeah. All the time growing up.
Nice.
Yeah, so we're kind of all over the place now. I'm the only one that's loco. But yeah, I mean, we still say we're from Whittier because that's where that's where it started, you know?
Yeah. Always claim it.
Yeah, because you and Mike started a band in 2011, correct?
It's kind of weird. Like, I think that's...
I want to say maybe late 2010 is like when we kind of started.
We just say 2011 around. Because we don't remember when it started. Okay. But I think the demo was...
Baked?
Yeah, the demo dropped... Like in 2011, maybe that's why we picked 2000. Mm-hmm. I don't fucking, but it was around that time.
Yeah, you guys are just baked 2011. It's walking up and down fucking Uptown Whittier. You
know? Yeah, I mean,
we spent a lot of time at This Was Bad. Like every day, you know, after school we'd go there. Weekends we'd go there, just always fucking kicking it. You know, or we'd go to shows, local shows.
I lived in front of the high school that we went to, so that's why.
What was that like? Come on.
Yeah. I was never there on time. My mom hated me for
across
that.
The street? Yeah. And you still couldn't make it on time? Wow.
Yeah. School wasn't for me, man. I don't know. I just couldn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I dropped out and started touring.
When'd you drop out?
Sophomore year?
Yeah.
Oh, you're early?
Sophomore year.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, I started touring when I was 17, I think.
Fuck.
Yeah. I went to Europe for the first time, and yeah, it was sick. Whole different world.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I was pretty busy with a different band, and I was touring with them. And when I was home, we'd obviously hang out, us and friends. And so I think the idea just came about when we were just, you know, because we'd jam for sure, like when I was home and stuff. And we were just playing covers and stuff. And then I think at one point we were just like, hey, we should try to write our own shit. And that's kind of how it all started.
Yeah, it wasn't even meant to be anything serious either. It was just kind of like, let's see what fucking happens, you know. Just have fun, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Mike, you know, I dropped out of high school. We have all this free time. I don't want to walk across the street too long. Yeah. Across the street, dude?
Yeah.
It's funny. Well, we'll get back to when the band started. But so our paths crossed.
Okay.
And it wasn't until... My other bandmates told me who you were, because I mentioned, you know, we were all tired as fuck, coming home from Europe. And I was like, Skeletal Remains is going to be on a podcast. I'm pretty stoked. I mean, their records are fucking insane. They're like, oh, dude, do you remember that band from Pico? I was like, no, what the fuck are you talking about? So did you guys, your band rehearsed and Pico Rivera, correct?
Oh, same lockout. Jocko. Yeah,
at, the same at lockout. That, at that lockout.
Yeah.
Were you guys there too?
You were the band, right? And
I don't know.
No,
were we?
You know?
Were we the band?
Were you guys that high? we all talked.
Did we?
Oh, shit.
Maybe at some point.
I remember seeing you guys like kind of crossing paths, but I don't remember ever fucking talking.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I know we're still at Jocko, yeah. But we moved to the new, they built a new building now.
Thank God.
So yeah. we're across. Yeah. We're not at the old building anymore, but yeah, that place is awesome. We're still there. Are you guys still there?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
I mean, well, we just saw each other, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been there for the past 4 years. I just haven't seen you guys. You know, it's rare because I mean, there's so many different kinds of music in like a lockout space. There's everyone's doing something different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was obviously we were there. We're writing the last record that came out terrible, and then. You guys are there because when a good band goes into a lockout, you're like, "Who is that?" Playing like perfect death metal, I was like, "Who is that?" And then we all found out it was your band.
Oh shit!
Because you know, lockout, the bands are just they suck. It's like you're just surrounded by this.
Oh, dude!
Yeah,
we would write. We wrote Entombment there.
Yeah,
and there's times where it's like the bands would rehearse and we're like, fuck.
It's just one song over and over and over again for like 2 to 3 hours.
Or the
it's
same like, part. Geez. The same like five seconds over and over for 2 hours.
It's like, shit, we're trying to come up with a riff. And we keep getting distracted. It's fucking.
We ended up learning their shit just playing it on.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Can be a bit distracting, but we figured out the good times to go, you know, when people are usually at work.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you guys were the sick band there. Cool.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
You don't remember at all?
No.
I'm honestly shocked.
yeah.
Remember that one decent deathcore band that was in there? I think it's Suicide Sons. No, nothing. Oh my goodness, dude.
Yeah.
Then how about this? Do you know our previous drummer Alex?
Yeah.
Okay, so cool story about this. Mom was
She works at school, correct?
At our school, yeah. Okay. Yeah, his mom was a teacher at our school.
Yeah, she was my teacher.
And I think they...
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. That's sick.
And I think they didn't... Did they... Wasn't there some... Did they play at, like... Or am I thinking about a different band?
No, they didn't play. There was some other... Like, I think they were, like, also teachers.
Okay. They would play. Maybe I'm confusing it for someone else, but...
But
I don't know him personally, but I know of him because of our school.
Yeah.
And his teacher, which is his mom, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
So wasn't my teacher, but I just know that his mom teaches there. And I guess you had her as a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, you know, obviously at the time, all I would ever take to school was my fucking guitar. I wouldn't take backpacks. I wouldn't take
that guy.
Shit. Yeah.
You were the guy.
I'd wake up playing guitar before going to school, go to school, just play guitar during class, get home.
You were
play
the
guitar.
Guy, yeah. Dude. I'm like, there was two geeks in my high school that I carried around a guitar. I'm like,
was it acoustic or electric though?
Both.
Oh man,
we would usually.
Oh man. Oh man, that's cool though.
Yeah, yeah, but
you loved it.
I forgot what the fucking project we had to go up on because she was also like a I want to say a drama teacher. So in her classroom, she had like a stage, and I think we had to do some kind of fucking presentation or whatever, and I didn't do it because, you know, I didn't give a fuck, so I just went through with my guitar. I was like, I'm just gonna play a song. I started playing and she was not about it. She was like, get off the stage, get out of here. I was like, oh, I thought you would appreciate it, but whatever, it was all good.
Well, you're probably trying to play death metal up there. What's
the... No, I mean, at the time, I was kind of fucking around with everything. There was this local band, they were also kind of like metalcore. They were called Antagonist.
Antagonist.
Yeah, we grew up watching them. Yeah. We would go to all their shows back in the day.
Rest in peace. They played the last show
last thing. Yeah.
So I just covered one of their songs, and I wasn't even like halfway through. And she was like, are you going to present anything at all? I'm like, no. She's like, get off the stage.
Wow.
But it was, I didn't give a fuck. I was having a good time. I was up there.
That's sick. Well, I mean, you know, you're one of the rare ones, so you turn out to be a cool guy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. I can get pretty grumpy.
Oh, we all do. Just fucking crammed in corners.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fucking 3-4 guys. Yeah, it's not ideal, you know? Nah. Remember, now I don't even know if I should tell the story anymore because we barely remember us being there. But yeah, we wrote Become the Hunter there, our sixth record. And I did. Sometimes you have a feeling. So there is the parking lot,
mm-hmm.
and I always every time I left that fucking place, dude, I was always I was always sketched out pulling out of that parking lot for some reason. Because they always parked like, because they parked the semis on each side. So like, you never really knew who was, I was always sketched out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And about halfway through, I hit a homeless guy. Reset. He hit me. I know I'm pulling out, and out of nowhere, a homeless guy in a bike hits my fucking car. And all I hear is, ooh! There's some fucking noise. I'm like, ooh! I was like, oh no.
Shit.
All right. Fucking his bike was pretty, well, it probably wasn't his bike, but the bike he was on was pretty fucked up. And I have a close family member in my hometown, Corona, that I always see because he's homeless.
Mm.
So I kind of have a soft spot. I've changed now about homeless people, but at that time I was still like, oh shit! Are you all right? Are you cool? I mean, you mean to drive you anywhere? And so I drove him down the street to who knows? Like it was like another group of homeless people. I was like, "Is this where you want to go? Okay." He probably went out and found some other bike.
Probably. But who knows? They probably all got together and just fixed it up for him. That they're with their magic.
My family member that's homeless, dude. I'll see him this around town either on a new bike, pants better than mine. Nicer than mine. It's like, where did I'm never surprised. I'll see him like homeless. You just see him when you're out driving around in your hometown. You see him you see people all the time. Like, damn, where do you get that bike? Where do you get that skateboard? Where do you get those shoes? I mean, it's all so I didn't feel too bad. I'm like, dude, the bike, you're gonna find another one quickly.
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah, there was this trailer that would always park outside of the parking lot, remember? And yeah, it was there's always something shady going on there. Like, I don't know if he was living in his trailer, but there was some weird stuff going on outside Jocko for a little bit.
One time we were leaving and we're just kind of like, you know, lingering in the parking lot area. And I'm just hearing like just water falling. I'm like, what the fuck? I turn around and the dude, he's just sitting like in the driver, but he's got the door open. He's just sitting there butt ass naked, just pissing out the door. I was like, all right, cool. But
Nico.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen plenty of things out there, but thankfully, you know, we didn't ever have anybody fuck with our vehicles or anything like that. We never got hassled by anybody. So
thank God.
Yeah,
I'm not sure you were there, but someone had a fight in front of your room.
Yeah, we heard about that. Yeah, Alan told us about that. The dude that runs that, he's also a good friend of ours from high school, and he kind of runs a place now, and so he showed me like the video of like the cameras.
Oh, is there a video?
Yeah, there's video of it. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And there's just like blood everywhere on the walls, and I think he made all of them clean that up.
Yeah. I'm not sure if like they were because what I didn't like about that place also, this randos were just kind of.
Yeah, there was I think there was some people living there too. I saw like people would just come out. Like, yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
Now it's more legit. It's like mostly like it's all bands, but at some point. When we first, because we've been there for years, so when we first got there, it was somebody else running it.
Mm-hmm.
And when Alan got the gig to, like, take care of the place, he told us that there was some shady shit that dude was doing. So he was probably just, I think there was even, like, drug dealers, like, there.
100%.
Yeah.
In Pico?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, so, but it's cool now. It's just bands now from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, like, blood on, like, the floor. And we were there. There was a commotion outside. It's like, yeah, so it was outside your room. Damn, oh fuck! I wish I saw the video. That would have been badass.
Yeah,
but you still have it?
He might. Yeah, I mean, he showed it to me when it just had happened. That was a while back. But yeah, he told me there was like blood all over the walls, and he just made them. They were all fucked. I think they were all drunk, so he made them all clean all that whole fucking thing.
Did you know James? I think he ran. He ran the place like the first year we were there.
No, I don't think I met James. Or maybe actually, because we've been there. When did you guys?
Handsome man. 2019?
Yeah, we've been there since before then. So yeah, maybe we didn't know him. I think. Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe. Maybe that's a guy that they got rid of for Ellen.
Probably.
Yeah.
Whoops. I like him because he gave me a. He gave me a Boss HM2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I have like a soft spot for him.
Nice.
It's like, dude, I have this pedal. I didn't know the hype with that pedal. Apparently, it's like a big, massive pedal for like the death metal community. And
yeah.
You know, it's like a cheapo pedal now. It just became this thing.
Yeah, ridiculously priced now.
Yeah,
I know, it's insane. It's
hard crazy. To find too, especially like the actual Japanese version.
Yeah.
No. I got one.
Because there's like a Korean version and there's like a Japanese one.
Is there?
I think the Japanese one's supposed to be like the good one, right? That's what I've heard.
That's what I've heard. But I mean, you know, that's all fucking, you know.
Yeah,
if you could dial in that tone.
Yeah, I'm
how
sure.
How can you tell the difference?
If you know what you're doing, I guess.
I've never used one. I mean, I have used one. I had one for a bit, but I wasn't too stoked on it. But obviously, if you're trying to do that whole Swedish sound, like...
Yeah. Oh, I do. It's like, this is, like rotten sound.
Yeah.
So it was like... I mean, it's just one setting. Like, you put the four knobs, it's boom, yeah. Boom. That's... There it is.
Yeah.
It's that fucking chainsaw fucking sound.
Yeah.
It's that's fucking sick.
Yeah.
You remember... what's that store called? Uptown 2000?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's still there.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, it's still there. Yeah. I'm surprised that shop is still there. So there's... I know you guys want to explain it, but there's a shop that sells like a bunch of sick band shirts there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got this shirt there.
Nice.
Uptown 2000, man. Me and our previous drummer, Alex, would always go there.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I'm not sure this is a bootleg or not.
Probably
is.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought a couple of shirts there like back in high school. I haven't been there in a while, actually.
Really?
But I live like 2 minutes from there, so I don't like... Well, here and there, I try to walk it, like, but so I still see it, like, when I walk down with my kids or whatever to get food. But I haven't been in there in quite some time. It's been since, like, high school days.
Yeah, it's been years.
I haven't actually been in there in a while.
Dude, that's a place to buy shirts, man.
Yeah, they have a lot of cool shit, for sure.
They have, like, everything.
Patches and...
Everything, dude.
Leather jackets and shit. Leather vests. Yeah, they have a lot of cool stuff.
So if you're around the Whittier area, check out this spot, Uptown 2000. They have death metal shirts. New metal, you fucking name, patches, posters.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing we have in Whittier for metal. Yeah. Like, that's not really many. I mean,
in general. I mean, I don't know a place that close that has those kind of shirts.
Well, Dark Realm. You know Dark Realm?
Dark Realm, yeah.
Yeah, Dark Realm is a...
Where's that again?
It's in Downey.
Downey, okay.
Yeah. It's moved around, I think, like locations, but that's definitely they have the really good underground stuff for sure. Shout out to Sadistic.
I haven't looked up Dark Realm in years. I remember like the first shop was really small. I went. I was in high school.
Oh, so you probably went to like their old location.
Yeah, I remember like it being like super small.
Yeah, that place is fucking sick, dude. They got all the fucking like a lot of shit you don't find at normal, you know, metal stores. A lot of the underground stuff.
I still haven't visited yet.
Yeah, they moved around quite a few times, so I think they're still in Downey, but I think it's just a different location.
I wonder how it's legal to sell bootlegs at a store.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, huh?
Yeah. It's weird. How's that legal?
I don't think it is.
I'm just like, shit. I know some of those, I mean, obviously most of those shirts are licensed.
Yeah. I don't know how it works, dude.
I wonder. How's that shit work?
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah, there's some bands out there that really take that shit seriously, like the bootlegging thing. Like, I remember we toured with Hypocrisy with a different band that I was in, and we played somewhere in, I want to say it was either Spain or Italy, and there was like a bunch of fucking bootleggers outside. And they were just pissed, you know, like they had more merch than the actual band.
Yeah.
They just had so many fucking like, fuck. And I think one of them went out there super pissed, like, get the fuck out. You guys got to get out of here and shit. So there's some bands that take that really seriously. Yeah, I don't really fucking care. Bootleg our shit. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. Whatever. Can't really control it. You know, it's like, people are going to do it. Like I've seen a lot of our patches, like, because I'm the one that usually, like, makes the designs and figures out, like, you know.
The layout.
The merch stuff. So there's times where I see, what the fuck? I've never seen that patch. Where'd that come from? So, yeah, there's people out there definitely bootlegging some of our stuff. But
yeah, sometimes the bootlegs are pretty sick, too.
Yeah.
Like, damn, I want one.
Sometimes the bootlegs have influenced, like, the design. Like, really? I'll see a bootleg, I'm like, oh, that looks fucking sick. I'm going to make that. Or I'll take from it, you know, like. obviously not make it exactly, but take the idea from.
He's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to say?
But free design.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, exactly.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah.
And Michael, I was curious because I know that Chris mentioned that it was nice to have you back in a band. So what? So you guys started a band together 2010-ish?
10-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What made you take off?
Girls.
I knew it.
Girls. Ruined my life. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I just tried to do the normal life thing for a bit. Didn't work out. So mm-hmm. I'm back. Back for good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just, I mean, it was, you know, I was happy for a while and then shit just hit the fan and fucking my ex and I just kind of went separate ways and
yeah,
you know, it happens. But it just worked out. Like the timing of it, as I was going through that, some of the other members were leaving as well. So like my schedule was open and then yeah, Chris reached out. He's like, hey, you wanna give it another shot? And I was like, fuck yeah, you know? And here we are. So it worked.
I think it also had to do with, like we said, when we started the band, it wasn't supposed to be serious. So like when things started to get serious and like hey, people want us to fucking release a demo and under the record label and there was possibility about actually doing something with the band and touring. I think that's where like you're like, oh, you know, I'm not really prepared for that. So
yeah.
You know, it's just didn't work out. But now everything seems to be working out pretty good.
Yeah.
Were you pissed?
Oh yeah, I was pissed. So why the fuck did you make me start this bad? Now you're gonna leave. No, it worked out for the best. I mean, we yeah. Some good, like I said, most of the previous lineup, like around the time he left, were also just friends that we grew up with in high school. So we were all just, you know, it's not like I just got like some random people to join. So yeah, no, it was cool. And then, you know, obviously when they left, you know, position opened up and I just asked them like, hey, would you be down, you know, to fucking write a record and, you know, possibly tour? And he's like, yeah, fuck it, let's give it a shot. And it worked out. Yeah. Now we're here.
Yeah. If anything, yeah. At least for me, like it kind of worked out in my favor because when we started the band, like I never felt like I was a strong fucking guitar player, you know, and
sure.
Chris's fucking level is just fucking amazing. So I was just like, man, I like as much as I want to do this, like I just do not feel like I'm strong enough. And even coming back when we were writing Entombment, I was still kind of feeling that like where I hadn't really been jamming as much as I used to. And I had a whole lot of self-doubt, you know, like you could kind of hear it in some of my solo work in
really?
Entombment where you could just tell I'm not very sure of what like wow. I'm doing and like it's not very fluent. But yeah, once we put out that record, like it gave me a little more confidence because people were like, you know, coming up like, hey, you know, music came out good, we did this and whatever. Because when I rejoined, I felt like I had some big shoes to fill, you know, because the band had already established to a point where, you know, the music's getting fucking more technical, more out there, and I didn't feel like I was at that level yet, you know. But you know, he was right there. He's like, you can do it, dude. You got it. And I was like, fuck, all right. You know, if you say so. And you know, fucking worked out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Timing, man.
Yeah. It really did.
And then Pierce, you joined 2020, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think Chris hit me up like right before COVID.
Good time.
For some festivals in Europe. I wanna say it was roughly around like right before COVID was when I got like hit up. Charlie Corin recommended me. He's a good friend of mine. And yeah, Chris, he just sent me a message. He was like, hey, just like expect a message from Chris for an opportunity to tour and whatever. And I think at the time it was, yeah, Chris hit me up to do some European tours and festivals. And then COVID hit. And I think at the time, Charlie was tracking drums for the record. And by that point, I already had the set list, so I was kind of just working on it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think I flew down there probably a few months after the shutdown. And then, because I think at that point, everything was still kind of up in the air because, like, nobody really knew, like, what was happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I flew down, I want to say, shortly after Charlie tracked drums for the record. And because I remember listening to some of the mixes while we were driving around in town. So Yeah, it was maybe a few weeks or a couple months after Charlie Track Drums, and we got to jamming all that shit. We running through the set, and then then the rest is history after that. I think it was after the first jam or first two jams, Chris was like, "So do you want to be in our band?" I was like, "Yeah, man, fuck yeah."
Well, we knew each other from we played Maryland Death Fest together. Mm-hmm. He played in his other project, Torture.
Yeah, we played right before you guys, and then I remember just fucking partying and hanging out.
Sick.
So it was, I already knew he was a good dude, and like, yeah, we just had a good time at MDF, and then some when you guys came through Portland again.
So kind of just
saw each other in passing every now and then, and I'm stoked I joined, dude. Stoked to have played all these festivals and shows, and yeah, it's been a good opportunity for sure.
It's rad. And then you found Brian.
Yeah
really rounded
the whole
package.
Big Ball Brian.
Oh, wow.
That was,
is that a real nickname?
Yeah, Big Ball Brian, bro.
That was
you
like,
that?
They were kind of just looking for a fill-in at the time. And, you know, Pierce and I jamming this other band in Portland, Enigmatum. And I think they were just putting out feelers, and Pierce just messaged our group chat at the time, was like, does anyone want to take a stab at this? And that was 2021, and wife and I's business took off kind of during COVID, so I had some more free time, and I kind of waited to see what the other guys said, and they couldn't do it, and I was like, yeah, I'll take a stab at it, and here we are.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Fifth record,
yes.
Best one.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Thank you, man.
That's cool, man. We're talking about, you know, just straight death metal. It's hard to, for me, my beef with death metal is always like they have like the one or two phenomenal records and then it drops. Like this, it's like missing that thing that like you fell in love with. But you guys, you're just coasting like up and,
thanks,
finding the sound. It's cool. It's rare. Yeah.
I think this record, like, I think honestly, I was a fan of the band before, and like, I feel like every record is just like a step up from the last. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, from the beginning to this one, you could just hear the evolution and, you know, the growth as musicians throughout the whole discography. Huh. You know?
Yeah, I noticed that too. Like, I had seen Skeletal like probably 4 times, I think, since it, you know, before ever joining, you know, and it's just like, yeah, each show was just sort of the next step up. Yeah.
I mean, I could hear it in the music. Like, the way I hear it is like, you know, Devouring Mortality is like you could just hear the growth from Condemned and, you know, previous works. And then like, I feel like Entombment of Chaos really picked up like right where Devouring left off with, I think the ending track is, what's the ending track for that record?
Internal
Detestation. Yeah. Oh, so that one's like super fast blasting. It's probably one of the like more intense songs on the record. Yeah. And then, you know, with Entombment, you could just, it kind of picks up that pace and then it just keeps going up. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And then I feel like this record is on the same level where it just picks right up where that where the last song left off and then just keeps going up, you know.
How do you do that?
Practice. Mm. Patience. I don't know.
I think we just try to push ourselves, dude. Yeah. That's one of like, yeah. Sometimes when I'm recording this shit, I'm like, fuck, how am I gonna play this live? But good, you know,
half of this new record is like that. It's like, fuck, this is tough. This is really fucking hard.
You guys fucking did it to yourselves, man.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I definitely felt it yesterday after having a few
it's
drinks.
It's hard shit to play live.
And
man.
Playing it live, I'm like, fuck, this is intense.
There's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
Especially with this newer stuff. And like, yeah, dude, like sometimes I'm like kind of dreading some parts because I'm like,
yeah.
Fuck. Like,
yep.
No, but you guys are all rippers.
Thanks, man.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Thank you.
Okay, so you have a few beers before or during the show?
Before, unfortunately.
Yeah. Unfortunately? Yeah,
we had a couple friends and, you know, it's our album release show.
Oh, so, yeah, the home shows are different.
Yeah.
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 So, I couldn't help it. So we got a couple shots in. By the time I was on stage, I was pretty,
how much total?
I don't know.
Honesty. This is a table of honesty.
I think I did like 5 shots before going on stage.
5?
Yeah.
That's how much I do, so I can't talk.
So don't.
Cool.
Don't watch the live videos that they'll put on YouTube because they're
gonna get up, dude.
They're gonna be sloppy. But no, it was a good time, man. Yeah. Definitely, you know, hometown shows, family coming out, friends and shit. It's like, you can't help it. You know, people want to hang
just
out.
A big party.
I know, it's just tough.
It was a great show last night, man.
Yeah, it was dope.
Good vibe.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking sick.
It felt good.
Yeah. The people running sound were on it, too, man. They knew what the fuck they were doing. Nice. I think Jen was her name. She was really good.
Yeah, that place. It was her first time playing that, mm-hmm. Terragram. Have you played there?
No.
It's a cool spot.
Only played it once, Terragram.
Yeah, it's a cool spot. Good. It was good sound and good. They had a good team there for sure. They knew what they were doing. So, yeah, we're stoked. That's always a big thing, too, when you get people that are like, they don't really give a shit. They'll just do whatever. Yeah. There's a lot of times where we got on stage and we're just like standing there waiting
for
someone.
You guys are good.
And I'm like, wait, what? Like, we haven't checked anything.
That happened in like New York, didn't it?
And it's like, start the show. Like,
yeah,
fuck.
That was fucked up. We just got up there. And then we didn't even do a sound check or anything.
Line check. Usually we'll do a line check. Yeah, obviously if we're not headlining, you know, we don't have time to sound check. So
he just set up the mics and it was like, you guys are good. It's like,
I don't think so.
I don't think we're ready.
Yeah. But whatever. We'll make it work.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's hard to find people that care.
Yeah.
It's also like kind of the shitty, not shitty thing, but like it's kind of like the unfortunate thing about, like, if you're on tour and you're the first or second act is, like, you know, like, you have this pressure to, like, get on, get off. Like, it's just, like, bang, bang, bang. And, like, yeah, we get a decent line check, but I feel like, you know, a lot of times it's just get up and play, you know?
Yeah.
Get up and get the fuck off.
But last night was awesome because we had a full sound check and like made sure everything was working and it helped improve the show that much better because if you can actually hear what the fuck is going on then good.
There have been some tours we've done where I don't know, it's been like if it was every night or every other night, but it just seemed like we just needed, you know, a couple more minutes to sound check. But then they would, and it was important, you know, like it was like we wanted to sound good. But I guess that would eat into our set time. Mm-hmm. And so we'd end up having to like cut like 1 or 2 songs every night.
Yeah.
Just, dang. Sucks, dude.
Yeah. That's unfortunate because, I mean, we rehearsed for that set, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to be able to cut a song like through a tour is just like, well, we just wasted time practicing this song, if you know what I mean. It's just like, but I mean, ultimately, I have fun up there, so it's like, whatever. As long as the crowd's into it, I'm stoked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's having a line check or a sound check is I think like crucial, and it doesn't always work out like that, you know, on tour.
It's crucial too, yeah, because it's death metal, dude.
Like, yeah,
that shit needs to sound good,
yeah,
yeah.
You know, and you kind of need to know what the hell's so you can hear what's going on.
There's been a few times where like just like the monitors weren't working. Like I think a bunch of times in New York and like just a bunch of technical difficulties. And like you're like, I guess like we're just playing in the dark right now. So, you know, what happens, happens. And just leave it at that, you know, I guess like what else can you do if the equipment's not working, you know, or somebody isn't like really on top of it, you know?
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, but it's still fun to play, you know.
It's part of it. It's all part of it, which is it's kind of like the.
I like it. Yeah. Not every show is supposed to be perfect. You know what I mean?
No. Sometimes the shitty ones that just turn out great.
Yeah.
Sometimes you never really know. You never know. You never know the outcome of anything really.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of one thing I learned in my life. Don't expect the outcome.
It's
a dumb
especially way. Especially for music, like shows, like some of the best shows I've played have been like really small shows where everybody was just actually into it. But to me, I'd rather play a show in a smaller club with less people and everybody's into it rather than like a huge festival with thousands of people and everybody just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just standing there. Like, I'd rather see some movement and people headbanging rather than just people looking up at you. But if they're not really into it, then like, that doesn't motivate me to play harder, faster, better. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, they don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. Like, kind of.
Yeah. Just makes us want to get off the stage that much quicker.
Cut song.
We've had some of those.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to go deep in your own world. Like, deep sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes the show's great and like, you just, something's off. Like, could have been what you ate for fucking breakfast or something. Like, you're just not.
Yeah.
You're just not feeling it. Then you got to. Dude, I'll think about some crazy shit, dude. Like shit that happens when you're like a child. It's so fucking, just to fucking dig deep and then get that emotion out, you know? Mm. And then it's like a switch. It's a, and then you're in your own, you're not even on a stage at that point. You're just playing from the heart. It's crazy.
Yep.
But that's only when like shit is going wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People pay money, dude. I mean, people, it's like, and that it's always shocking. It's still shocking to me where like you hear, oh my, this is like my first time seeing you guys. You're like, damn, like this was fuck. You got you never know. You got to bring it every time.
Yeah.
Like shit.
Yeah.
You saw a fucking shitty show.
Like, fuck. Yeah, that's the shitty part about it. It's like, fuck.
Especially when some of your fucking idols are out in the crowd too.
Yeah,
it's just
that's
a shit
like,
show. It's like, fuck.
Yeah.
That's nerve wracking as hell, man.
Yeah, we played a show out in, I can't remember where it was, in Canada, and fucking one of my biggest influences, Luke Lemay from Gorguts, and he was out in the crowd, and it was just a shit show.
It happens.
Know, like, just fucking shit sound. I was fucking up just because I'm in my own head. Like, I'm hearing too much of myself and not enough of everybody else, sure. So I'm just, like, fucking up there. I'm, like, losing my place. I'm, like, son of a bitch. And thankfully, I didn't know Luke was there until afterwards. Cause I think I would have fucked up even more.
Oh my god!
But it was still shitty. Once we were like, oh yeah, Luke was here. Like, fuck. Like, all right, whatever. You know. Hopefully, dude, he'll catch us next time when we're doing a little better.
There was that really intimidating moment where when we were playing Costa Rica with Cannibal Corpse. I like was in my zone, you know, grooving out, and then was like blasting on the ride, and I'm like in the corner of my eye, just see fucking Eric Rutan just. Standing up there, warming up on his guitar, and just like he's watching me. I'm like,
oh my god,
fuck, dude, like, don't fuck up. That was, yeah, shit like that's like really intimidating. You're like, dude, like this person is watching me play. Yeah. Like, it's,
and I'm blowing it.
No, it's a humbling feeling. It's really cool. It's a humbling feeling. But some of those shows when you realize who's in the crowd, you're like, oh fuck, you were here, dude. Like. Did we sound good? I hope we did.
Yeah. Or sometimes it might make you play a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely, sometimes. Dude.
Mm-hmm. We were in Poland and Bog from Decapitated came out. And it was a decent show, but I practiced a little bit more in backstage, practiced a little bit more. And I really dug in a little bit more during the show. Mm-hmm. It is rare. That was a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, play good, sounded good. I felt good about it. But dude, it's Bog. I can't play sloppy today. I can't slop around, dude. Fuck
yeah.
Okay, I have a selfish question to ask you.
Okay.
So I'm on a journey to learn how to sing.
Oh God.
Okay. I know. I have the same thought.
You're asking the wrong person, man. Go ahead. Good.
Okay. or maybe I'm asking the right person. We'll see. But what's different about you, Chris, is that you play death metal. And like, how do you sing and play at the same time? How do you do that?
I don't know. I wish I wasn't doing it though. I'd rather just play guitar, man. I'd rather just, yeah. But I don't know. I kind of just got stuck here and I guess just practicing. I don't know especially with this new stuff, it's been fucking tricky.
How do you, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah, I don't know.
What the just fuck? Fucking, just do it.
I just did it, yeah. I don't. Yeah, it's definitely tricky. Especially when there's so many fucking songs now, because we have 5 records, and it's like, for the set list for that we're doing right now, we try to play some songs that we haven't played in quite some time. So relearning that, and then relearning the newer stuff. Yeah, it's just, it's tricky, man. But yeah, I mean, I enjoy doing it, but it's just, I would prefer to be up there just with my guitar. But,
of course.
You know, kind of just got stuck with singing, so now I'm just here doing it. But yeah, I don't know. It's cool. I enjoy doing it, but it's just, yeah, I really wish I was just up there playing guitar. but yeah, I don't know. Just to, I guess it's just practicing, I guess. It almost came naturally. Like, I know when we first started, I think we were, the plan was for both of us to sing, right?
Yeah.
Because we couldn't find anybody. Then he left, so I was the only one that got, I pretty much ended up doing everything. So yeah, like I said, I kind of just got stuck with singing. But yeah, it's just, as a vocalist, like, it's just, there's a lot of stuff that I'm still learning. And, you know, like, before doing this project, I've never sang in my life. It was just playing guitar, you know? So I've definitely have had to, like, learn the correct way to do it and how not to fuck up my fucking voice. Definitely have, like, I have to kind of just be a little bit more careful with not partying every night, so I won't fucking fuck up my voice and, like, trying to stay hydrated and all that shit that comes with having to have to sing. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because I remember a lot of the early days, like, after a show, your voice would be so shot.
Yeah. Yeah, my voice has definitely changed with each record, and I think it's just, like, naturally, I don't know what's, I've kind of learned how to do it, I guess, or what works for me. I feel like in the beginning, I was just kind of trying to sound like my idols. And sure, it worked out, but I think I wasn't doing it right. So a lot of the times after each show, I would be like, fucking, like, my voice would be done, or I'll just be like super fucking lightheaded. Now I feel okay when I play. So I don't know if it's just, I'm kind of just getting comfortable with what I'm doing now. But yes, that, my voice has definitely changed with each record. And I've definitely, like, learned from touring and stuff how to, like, do it correctly and what works and what doesn't work for me.
Mm.
Yeah. But I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm just up there screaming.
Okay.
And, yeah.
All right.
If you have a guitar question, though, I'll probably have a better answer for that. Yeah. But so for vocals, yeah, man, I don't know. I'm just fucking doing it. I never took lessons or just started screaming and that's what came out. And,
interesting.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I mean, I feel like it's like that for a lot of vocalists too, though. Like, you know, they just, like, friends, like people that start bands and they're like, well, who's going to sing? And somebody's just like, fuck it, I'll sing, you know? So I've heard stories like that of people that just kind of just go for it and then just learn with time how to do it right. And how to not fuck up your voice because you're not doing it right or whatever. I think I've definitely learned from touring and stuff what works and doesn't work for me.
What doesn't work?
Trying to sound like someone.
Mm.
Trying to mimic like who I want to sound like. So now it's just more of natural what comes out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I was before, like the first records, I was just trying to sound like my idols, you know, like Martin Van Drunen or John Tardy. Now it's just naturally what comes out. So I stopped trying to, like, instead of just trying to sound like someone, it's just, yeah, what comes out. And I feel like that helped a lot with not having to, like, lose my voice every night or feeling like shit after a show, you know. Definitely that. I fucking hate that, getting off stage and just feeling all fucking lightheaded or with a headache or something.
Sure.
So, yeah.
So you stopped forcing, you know, a certain voice to come out.
Yeah, I think so. Huh. Yeah. Now it's just what comes out, I guess. And that's just my natural voice, I guess, if that makes sense. I don't know.
So in your head, is this natural for you to say words and play and that feels natural to you?
Yeah, I guess.
You're a fucking freak. Yeah. I was expecting to write some fucking cool like practice routine down. I don't really
warm up. I probably should, but I don't warm up or I don't practice. Like I said, my main focus is my guitar and playing, making sure that the vocals obviously come later, but like, especially when we write the music too, like the vocals or the lyrics and all that stuff comes literally at the end. First, the music is like, well, you know, what we write or whatever. And that's like the main thing that I attempt to focus on. And then, you know, the lyrics come in later and we usually don't even have patterns until we're recording. Like we're doing it on the spot, right?
Yeah.
Like we're usually figuring out like everything on the spot while we're in the studio. So, yeah.
You guys are all fucking crazy. I don't even know where to go now. What was it like touring with Morbid Angel? What's Trey like?
Oh, have you met Trey?
Yeah, once.
Trey's an interesting person.
Trey's Trey.
Yeah, Trey's Trey.
Trey is the way. Trey is the way, dude.
No, man, it's fucking, yeah. I was so sick touring with them. And just being able to, you know, watch them every night and they're all super cool people, you know. So that's another thing too about, I think, touring with bands. Sometimes we've toured with some bands where, like, I don't know if it's just like the way they are, but it almost seems like they didn't like us.
Yeah.
Like we did. There's some tours that we've done that like where we won't talk to the band. Like this tour we did, we literally saw. We talked to the band members the first day and the last day of the tour, and that was it. So I don't know if maybe they were just really to themselves or what, but it just kind of, I don't know, it seemed kind of weird. But like touring with Morbid Angel, for example, they were like super chill, you know. We'd be hanging out. Trey would always want to fucking hang out. I couldn't keep up with him. He always wanted to like
take shots.
And he's like, you want to go hang out in the bus and
drinking,
you
know, game,
yeah, do some drinking and play some video games. And yeah, I couldn't keep up with him, but no, it was sick, man. Touring with Morbid Angel was really fun. I mean, anyone that listens to the band, I'm sure can tell that that's one of our biggest influences. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Being able to actually play with him is fucking,
they had a killer set too.
Yeah
it was a good set.
Yeah, it was dope. And it was super cool that Charlie, who played on our fourth record, was drumming for Morbid Angel on that tour. So that was super dope. Like,
that's crazy.
It almost seemed like a family and shit.
Yeah, everybody was super chill during that tour. It was all good vibes.
Yeah, that was a good tour.
That's dope.
No drama, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Nobody was like beefing with anybody else. Everybody was super friendly, super helpful.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. You guys did half the tour, right?
Half, yes, yeah.
Do you guys take off right before that fucking tornado hit?
No,
we were on stage. We were on stage.
Oh, it was you guys.
Yeah, we were setting up.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
What happened?
I mean, we had been getting alerts all day, but I guess a lot of the locals were saying, a tornado hasn't hit in over like 50, 60 years, something like that. And they're like, it's not going to hit.
You know? Yeah, they pretty much told us that there's nothing we should be worried about. Yeah.
And then, we're up there. We just finished sound checking. We're about to start.
Yeah, we had like 2 minutes.
And
I think maybe Brett from Revocation.
Brett from Revocation came running in from outside. He's like, everybody's got to get downstairs right fucking now. It's about to hit. And I'm like all our gear's up there. So I'm like, what do I take? I just fucking grab my guitars, thankfully, because like later on when we went back upstage, a part of the roof had come and like landed right where my shit was at. It hit Trey's amp and then like fucking went to my area. So it probably would have taken me out. I don't know what the fuck would have happened. But
pretty lucky that we didn't play, dude, because if we would have played, a lot of shit would have landed on us.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there was a lot of the fucking roof on the stage, and also obviously the majority hit the crowd.
It was brutal.
That was a very traumatizing moment for
now. I mean, you know, not making light of it, of course, but we're kind of at this like point where we all kind of had like PTSD, where we're setting up in a venue, and if we hear any kind of noise,
like a fire alarm or something,
anything, we all kind of just like everybody freezes, and we're just kind of like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah,
there was one venue we played on
the last tour,
it was just the green room was below where the audience was standing, and but it was just really loud, so it's just people's footsteps or dragging equipment across just sounded like that rumbling that we heard.
I remember seeing the ceiling kind of bounce too.
Yeah, like, and I was just like, man, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
Ceiling's bouncing?
Oh, fucking shit. When we were down in the green room, I think most venues are kind of built that way to absorb, like, impact, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like saw it like kind of dip in like when people were like moshing and moving around and shit. And I was like, I'm getting the fuck upstairs and out of this building.
Yeah.
It was an interesting time to be touring after that. Like,
it was all kind of like what the fuck do we do now? Like, what's gonna happen?
You know? I mean, obviously we had to finish what we started, but there was a moment in time after that happened where I wasn't really sure if I really wanted to like continue doing music at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, it was pretty.
At least like the touring aspect of it. I was like, I don't know if I could do this anymore because I mean, if you really think about it, like you're taking a huge risk every day being on the road.
Yeah.
Like,
of course.
Driving all the time. You know, anything could happen.
Yeah.
But that incident in particular was like made me take a step back and be like, is this like really like worth it? And obviously it is because I'm here still, you know, but that was definitely a time that I took to like have a conversation with myself, you know, but that was really hard to finish the tour, honestly, after that, because it was just kind of so unmotivating, you know?
Yeah, because I think even days after that, we were still getting alerts that different areas we were driving through, there were still, like, tornado warnings.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was just like, I don't even want to fucking drive through this shit. Like, I was fucking scared. I was really scared. I didn't know what the fuck, because obviously we knew, like, we've got to finish, but it's like, at what cost, you know, at that point?
Yeah.
I think we only had, like, 3 or 4 shows left.
Yeah,
it was. I mean, but the rest of the shows we played were sick. The last show we did was fucking awesome. With
The Forge in
that
Illinois.
Was a great show.
It's cool.
Julia,
it was a good show to go Julia. Out on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On a high note, because I think we sounded fucking awesome, and the room was packed. I think it was sold out.
Yeah,
and then, I think they honored tickets from people who were at the Belvedere show at that show as well.
And then our boys from Vitriol came out because they were gonna pick up. I think the next day.
They were doing.
That was just cool to see them and you know say goodbye to everybody. It was a good show to go out on for sure.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
yeah. It's fucking. It's crazy when it gets real.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
It makes you like really think about like, I mean, you're flying somewhere, you're driving somewhere, like anything can happen.
Anything.
Like unpredictable weather patterns. Like, yeah, man. That shit's just like. Anybody who's constantly touring is I have nothing but respect for it, you know.
Totally.
I mean? If I'm not like too into the band, I still respect the grind, you know, because it is not an easy lifestyle.
No.
You know, you're away from family, people you love, like but in the end it is worth it.
It is.
At least I think.
Yeah,
I mean, it is.
I love playing music on stage, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, whenever somebody comes up at you at the end of the show and I'm like, dude, that was fucking awesome. I've had a few people, like, you know, say, like, oh, you're a favorite band. And I was like, dude, like, that was me 10 years ago, like 15 years ago, you know? Like, if I were to meet, you know, one of my idols, I'd be like, dude, I love your band. It's like, it's cool how it comes, like, full circle, you know what I mean?
It does. It's all, life's all one big full circle, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when we get older, it's just like, wow. It's like still going. Well, shit. I don't want to keep you guys too long. Any closing thoughts? That's been my new question.
Buy the record.
Thanks for anybody who supported the record. Thank you very much. I had a lot of fun recording it and playing, and I love playing all the songs live.
Yeah, Yeah, it's been really fun playing some of the new shit. I've been eager to play a lot of the new shit live. It's just, and now what we're doing is like, fuck yeah, you know. I'm stoked.
It's funny too, playing the new shit live, because there's some of the songs like from Entombment where I was like, not really dreading it, but I was like, oh, this is going to be a hard one to pull off live. And then now that we're playing this new stuff, all that stuff I was worried about from the previous material, it's like,
is it the breather?
It's actually like a lot easier to play now. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, sick. Well, everyone listening and watching, the new record's out now. Came out. Let's see. So we're dropping this on Monday.
Okay.
So it's going to come out like, you know, in a couple of days. The record's a day or two old. It's badass.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Skeletal Remains. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Your stories, and I want to go to the show tonight. So.
Yeah,
and drink some beers.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, cool.
All right, guys, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
That's it. Later.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.